This is A Wild Conversation.
Hi, my name is Callum Hughes. I'm a zookeeper here at the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
And I'm Ashley Wysick, also a keeper here at the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
And today on A Wild Conversation, we're going to be talking about rhinos.
Rhinos. Oh, they're such beautiful animals.
Completely. And who better to talk with about is someone who's actually had experience working with our new rhino, Theo.
I have worked with him. He is so adorable. It's hard not to fall in love with him instantly. I'm not gonna lie.
Do not blame you. Oh, hey, Ashley.
Yes.
Why do businesses owned and operated by rhinos have a hard time attracting customers?
You're gonna do this to me right now?
Yep.
Just tell me.
They charge too much.
Oh my God.
I apologize to our listeners.
We've just started now crying. Oh my God.
Sorry about that.
You should have apologized. I should have seen that coming.
But definitely, tell us more about Theo. What's he like?
He is so rambunctious and so adorable. I love seeing him in the morning. And he's super funny because he can hear the voices of the keepers who work with him. And he will come running from the other side of the enclosure like, oh my gosh, I know that person.
Really?
So, yeah, sometimes I'll stop when I'm between barns. And I'll just, if I see a whole bunch of people gathered, and I'll just, oh, I'm going to go say hi. There's a couple of people like, this is Theo. These are a few facts about him because he's amazing. And he'll come running over. And then all the guests are like, whoa. Yeah, and he's like huge. And rambunctious, so it's like terrifying a little bit sometimes, but he can also be very gentle, you know.
Yeah.
Like I gave him some cardboard boxes I had painted all over them, like a little it said Theo for him, so he could knock over and play with, and he just kind of came over and booped it and then booped it again. I think he was a little confused as to what was going on.
So like kind of like inquisitive, not really.
Yeah,
like...
he like just pushed it over. And then the other time I came in and he had like crushed a barrel. So it just kind of, I guess, depends on what mood he's in, you know? He's like, oh, this is a cool toy. I'm going to squish it. He's super adorable. I love him.
Speaking of toys, what kind of enrichment do you give a rhino?
Durable stuff. Or
good answer.
Or stuff that you are willing to never get back in the same shape. It's kind of, we gave him a Jolly Ball and now it is a donut. like it looks like one of those Boston cream donuts. Like it's literally just flattened. It's circular on the side, but it's got a flat top on the flat bottom and a flat top.
Did he do that with his horn or his feet?
We had attached it to his, like one of the, his stalls. So because we were worried about him like throwing it into like areas in the actual barn that he could actually destroy something, but he had actually just jammed it between part of the bars at the one side of his fence line there, and he had like stuffed it right through. I was like, oh, I think it might still be there because I couldn't get it out.
That's some serious strength, right?
Yeah, there. It's nuts. And then we gave him like a big barrel, like the ones that we use to haul straw to our enclosures and stuff like that sometimes. And yeah, he squished it. It's squished. But then the other time I gave him one of those and he actually, I don't know how he managed this, but he kind of like managed to position it up against a fence and he stuck his horn inside of it and then he lifted it up and he balanced it on his horn. So he had like this really big horn because it had a barrel on it. And he's like, I'm gorgeous. Because he just like walked around with it for a while until it fell off. It was so funny.
Oh man, I can't even imagine.
Right? He's so funny. It's an animal that big, though. It's like, you know, they can absolutely destroy things without even meaning to destroy things, you know? Male rhinos can get up to like 5,500 pounds.
Cool.
You know? Like, big. They can be big. Well, depending on the rhino. I think Sumatran rhinos are the smaller ones. They get more around like 1,200 pounds.
Right.
But the southern whites, those are the big boys.
Got ya.
They get chunky. Okay, no, wait, no. They don't get chunky. They just get large and robust and gorgeous and handsome.
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, I know there's 5 living species of rhino right now in the world.
Yes. They are the Sumatran. Okay, wait. Sumatran rhino, the Javan rhino, the greater one-horned rhino, black rhino and the white rhino.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes.
Perfect.
I win.
So yeah, as far as those rhino species, I know that we know that the southern white rhino is considered near threatened or vulnerable.
Yes, they are. Oh, what was it? They're considered to be near threatened, and the southern white rhino has done really well compared to all the other rhinos out there. Like most rhino species are struggling still, but I think it was like 2015 they had 10,000 in the wild again, which is remarkable. It's great because I think they had dwindled down to less than 100 individuals.
Cool.
So they have made an amazing comeback, but then the problem they're having now is that if they shift them over to least concern, they're still having an incredible amount of problems with poaching, right? So having them still be near threatened, they can still supply a lot of support to the animals and protection. But if they shift them to least concern, there's this huge risk that poachers are going to be like, oh, well, that means we don't have to worry about it. And then they would just plummet their numbers down again. Because I do think that in the last 50 to 100 years, their numbers have fluctuated up and down because of that. At one point, they had actually gotten back up to 20,000. And then because we thought, oh, yes, we saved the species, people started poaching them. And they dwindled right back down. Like, they went right back down to, like, 8,000 individuals.
Cool.
So it's a weird balancing act because you have to know that they're completely protected before you just go, oh, they're fine. We aren't concerned about them anymore. You know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And
it's complicated.
I mean, to make that kind of recovery for an animal that produces... Yeah, one offspring.
Yeah,
like, you know, when you think about the frogs,
one offspring every like 4 to 5 years, man, because they're pregnant for like 16 months and then they don't usually have another baby until that baby's like 3, almost 4.
Jeez,
like, that's not a very fast rate of reproduction.
No, I mean, you look at some of the reptiles or the crocodiles. Oh, yeah. They produce like tons of babies. Even the big cats, like, will have 4 or maybe even 3 cubs.
Oh, yeah.
And that means that you've replaced the parents and given an extra individual or two to the population, provided they survive. Whereas the rhino, it takes it... How long does it take them to reach sexual maturity?
Females, it's like 6 or 7, and males is 10 to 12.
So we're talking like 7 years before and then carrying the baby for something like, what, 16 months?
Yeah, so like if for them to reproduce, like to replace the parents and then to actually add like numbers, it would take like what, 4, 8, 12, 16 years, but they had to start when they were 7. So it's like 23 years or something ridiculous for them to actually be really have doubled the amount of rhinos.
Mm. I know that's a big challenge for those species that only have one baby at a time, like manatees, elephants.
Well, especially with such a long gestation, right?
Mm.
Over their gestation period, they're going to encounter natural disasters, right? So then that animal also has to be able to carry all the way to term, right?
Mm.
It's nuts.
That is crazy.
They're such cool animals, though.
Oh, amazing. And so diverse. Like, looking at the greater horned rhino, it looks like it's wearing a suit of armor.
Yeah.
You know, the way its skin is shaped, it looks like armor.
I think I remember hearing something like that where there was like an army general who believed that rhinos were basically armored and that's why, and he wanted to ride them into battle. I don't know what happened with that, but I don't recall very many wars fought on top of rhinos, so I don't think that that panned out.
Probably not.
No, because it's not actually armor, it's skin.
Yep.
It just looks like it. No, 100%. It looks like they're wearing clothing.
Besides, I don't think a scared rhino on the battlefield would be too concerned in which direction it's running. It either runs through their front lines or your front lines, but possibly both.
Yeah.
Also, probably not fair for the rhino, too.
I just can't imagine riding a rhino. What?
Yeah.
To be fair, though, in history, people did some pretty crazy things.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, they're just like, I can do this. No wonder. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Probably didn't pan out.
Probably not. Oh, my gosh.
I also heard that the greater horn one horn rhino, greater one-horned rhino, or Indian rhino, which sometimes called that.
Yeah.
Might make it simpler, just say Indian rhino, has incisors,
yes, right,
that act the same way as hippo incisors.
Yeah.
They use it to fight amongst individuals. They don't actually use their horn when they're fighting with each other as much.
Yeah. I read something like that, that's how they linked ancient rhino species, because that's a very unique, those inside, like the way they're shaped or whatever, is like really unique to that group. I think it's like rhinoceridae, mm-hmm, or something like that. But southern white rhinos don't have it.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's like a little funky there, but they do have a whole lot of other structures. But yeah, it's crazy, hey? You don't think of something like a rhino having like these big incisors to fight with, but they do.
Yeah, you always think it's the horn, but that might not necessarily be the main function of the horn.
Don't stick your hand in a rhino mouth.
good advice.
I don't know why you are in the position to stick your hand in a rhino mouth. You've probably made a bad choice, but don't do it.
Probably. Unless you're a zookeeper and you're training, like, showing the teeth to do inspections or
that is true.
Whatnot, or yeah, health checks.
If you're actually qualified and you know what you're doing, then good on you.
Are we doing at this time, any training with Theo? Do you know?
I'm not doing a lot of the training because I'm more of a newer keeper on African. So that's mainly like our more senior keepers are doing a lot of the training. But I do know that he is trained to do things like open his mouth for us. He comes and he'll stand on the side of the fence so we can do like examinations on his body. And he's really good at shifting. So if you want to bring him to an area, he will move where you want him to. He's very responsive. He's actually really funny because we've got like this big long brush for inside, and we give him like belly scratches with it through the foot. And
you'll belly
be like,
scratches.
Yeah, with this big, like, it's basically looks like a broom, but it's for him like, I guess, a giant toothbrush to give him belly scratches. So because he loves them, and giving him belly scratches, and he'll actually lean forward and he'll like lift up one of his back legs. He's ooh, yeah, right there. That's a good spot.
He's sounding more and more like my puppy at home.
I think Toronto refers to them as tank puppies.
Tank puppies.
Or one other zoo I was looking at refers to them as tank puppies.
Tank puppies are definitely not on my apartment's approved list of breeds.
No,
that's for sure.
No, they're not an approved, like, they're not an approved pet, but they that's how they behave. Like a puppy, but crossed with a tank.
You know, I heard that the white rhino is actually a mistranslation.
It is.
It's
like the original word for white. It like sounds like white, but the actual translation for it means wide. And what it is they're actually the wide-lipped rhino. Because most rhino species, their lips kind of come down into a little point. But the white rhino, he actually has square lips. His lips are very wide. It's super, super cute.
Oh, yeah?
But yeah, when I first heard that I was going to be working with Theo, I was like, why is he called a white rhino? You know, like white rhinos and black rhinos, they're not white and black. It didn't make sense to me. But when I looked it up, it turns out that it was like a European mistranslation thing. I don't know. I'm horrible at pronunciations, but I think the word was like white or like, it was like W-E-I-T.
Got ya. So it's like wide or white and, or
white.
Something.
Yeah, I don't know. But then we were like, oh, white.
Yeah.
Great.
And got if it. That one's white, then that one that wallows in mud must be the black rhino.
Sees one of them comes out just like totally mucked up. And they're like, ah, yes, we got this.
But they're both like usually a similar color and not a good way to ID them, right?
Yeah, no. It's the same thing with like grizzly bears and black bears. You know, just because it's black doesn't mean it's a black bear. You
true.
Know? We're so weird with that. We also call red foxes. Red foxes can come in a whole range of different colors. The gray wolf.
True.
What is with us? That human beings, we're just like, we must name them after the first colored one we see.
Yeah, that can really, really cause miscommunication. That's for sure.
Oh, it can. Our foxes here at the zoo are like a grayish white. And they're like, I get people all the time who say, why does your sign say red fox when you have silver foxes? I was like, well, these aren't silver foxes. They're just silver-colored red foxes, which is incredibly confusing.
I can imagine. Definitely. I've had a lot of people think the red pandas are the red foxes because they're actually red.
They're actually red. Yeah, that one at least fits. I think my favorite thing for the red pandas, I heard someone call them a pumpkin spice raccoon.
Oh my God.
That is my favorite thing. But yeah, no, the wide lips of the southern or the white rhino, I find so adorable. They're just like the cutest things ever when they look at you.
Why do they have why do they have wide lips in the first place?
Well, those, they're grazers, right?
Right.
So they use their mouth, their lips, their mouth parts to graze. I don't know exactly where it is or when it is that they actually diverged like that, though. Because almost every other species of rhino has like the pointed lip and the incisors. And these guys are like, nah, we're going to lose the incisors and we're going to increase our lip width. I don't know.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. I'll look that up when I get home.
No, I mean, yeah, you answered it. Like, they're grazers.
Yeah.
So, like, probably for that. I've heard before in a doc, not for rhinos, but for other animals, teeth are actually expensive.
Yeah.
Like, the idea of having teeth, because, you know, they're permanent structures unless you can replace them like a shark. And if you are replacing them like a shark, you need a lot of resources in order to do so.
Yeah.
Whereas with lips, it's like, it's your skin, it's your flesh. It regrows if it ever gets damaged. It stays with you. Some animals, their end of their lifespan is because they wear their teeth down and they can't hunt anymore in the wild.
Yeah.
So, like, to be able to just use your lips to pluck up what you need, perfect. Mm. Save yourself a cost on teeth. 100%. Save yourself a trip to the dentist
Or get a hard palate.
True.
Yeah, hard palate. Some animals, they just don't even have teeth on one side.
So, back on the other species of the rhino, how are the others doing if the white rhino is...
Not as great. So the white rhino is making a remarkable recovery, which is fantastic. We're very happy about that. And I think black rhinos are a second. I believe the last time I checked, their numbers were just under 2,000 in the wild. But Sumatran and Javan rhinos are below 100 individuals left in the wild right now. So those are the ones that really need our help right now. They need a lot of conservation. And they're also, I believe, in like... areas of the world that are hard already with conservation, you know? So, yeah. And then the greater one horn, or I might be getting my greater one horned numbers and my black rhino numbers a little confused. I think the greater one horned rhino is the one that's just under 2,000, whereas the black rhino, I believe, might actually be up near 5,000. I can't remember the last time I checked these numbers.
Don't worry, I'm not looking for them. Yeah. I know that three of them are critically endangered.
Yeah, so that would be our greater one horned, the Sumatran, and the Javan rhino. And then our black rhino, I believe, is vulnerable or endangered, and then the white rhino is doing the best. It's kind of up here, which is also funny to say because the southern white rhino is doing quite well as near threatened. The northern white rhino is our one that has very recently been declared basically functionally extinct because we only have two females left in the world and they're sisters. So the genetic diversity there is not great.
Yeah, I can imagine that's really tragic.
But the one thing that I have heard is that they're planning to actually basically save, I think it was eggs from them, like some genetic material, and try and kind of bring their genetics into the southern white. So the northern white will never come back, but they'll kind of contribute genetically to the population we already have.
I got you. So they can interbreed with one another and produce fertile offspring without any cost to the survival of the, say, the southern rhino.
Yeah, it'll just increase their genetic diversity, which is incredibly crucial to animals in the wild.
That's good. So it's not being wasted.
Yeah. Yeah. But they'll never be back to the way they were because the only white rhinos we have are all related. And I think the male we had before who passed away was their father. So you know that's like,
yeah, if you engage in inbreeding with wild species, their fertility goes down.
Yeah,
they're not able to function properly. I've heard like with the Florida panther, their fur gets patchy, their tails get crinks in them, their paws get smaller, they suffer from diseases way easier. It's just you can't go down that road because you end up with an animal that can't survive.
Yeah. And then you've just basically prolonged the inevitable, which is upsetting. But at least they're going to be helping, like, at least they have the southern white that they can actually use their genetics and promote and all that, you know?
True. I've also heard that there are some methods to discourage poaching. Three of them, or I've heard, are dehorning rhinos. Mm-hmm. All of these are controversial. They have their flaws. Yeah. Dehorning rhinos, putting poison pellets inside the rhino, which doesn't affect the rhino. It's actually a tick medication meant to affect ticks. But if a person ate it, it would make you feel sick. Then the other one, and also controversial, is we can actually make the keratin-based horn, because it's made out of the same stuff as the fingernails. We could actually manufacture it and produce it to basically flood the market with something that would devalue the horn so much so, at least the idea is, that it wouldn't be worth the time for a poacher to go hunt it down. But what are your thoughts on these?
There's also one other one I don't know if you've ever heard of, is dyeing the horn.
Dyeing the horn,
with, like, colors, like injecting it with colors, basically, so that if they were, like, turning the horn basically from the inside out, like purple, and then they borderline can't use it. I haven't heard whether or not that was successful or if they're even still doing it. The dehorning rhinos is incredibly controversial, because what they've found is that the horns, although they maybe don't always use them for fighting, they will use them to try and dig up roots and stuff like that and root around for food. And it plays a big role in their social structure. So taking the horns off, even though it helps to try and save those animals, it can really potentially hamper them socially.
Right.
Because rhinos have a very complicated social structure that we haven't even really figured out yet, because they spend a lot of their time solitary, and then sometimes in pairs, and every now and then you'll see like a few females all together, but they do kind of almost like crisscross and interact and socialize, or across a huge broad spectrum.
Right.
So if you take the horn off, they found that those animals really struggled. Right.
I can imagine. I mean, it's there for a reason.
It's there for a reason.
They didn't evolve it just to have it cut off or removed.
The one I've never heard of is the flooding the market with like the different, like, not rhino keratin that we could produce ethically. That's kind of cool. It's an interesting concept.
It is interesting. It does come with its costs. I even heard not fabricating it. I've heard if they had a large enough population in captivity, because it grows like our fingernails.
Yeah, to like harvest it ethically. You
could file it off every now and then and get some then. But the problem is with this and the fabrication is you'd have to find a way to tell the difference between fabricated or harvested humanely without affecting or taking from wild animals. And you'd also predicting how the markets can react. If you're not careful, you actually might create a boom or a huge demand. And if that happened, you could inadvertently raise the prices and put pressure on rhino populations.
It's such a complicated topic.
Exactly. Predicting what markets are going to do. It's like Bitcoin. Oh, you know, you don't know if suddenly it's going to be worth $100,000 or if it's going to be completely worthless one day. It doesn't make sense why people are buying it. But at the same time, it doesn't make sense why people are buying fingernail material to either use as decorative structures or in traditional medicine, for example.
Yeah, stocks scare me.
But if anyone is interested in contributing to conservation, I know the International Rhino Foundation allows you to symbolically, I can't stress this, symbolically adopt a rhino.
Yeah.
You cannot show up with a trailer at their headquarters expecting a rhino. I'm sure that's why they say that. Which can help out, support rangers, local communities, and bring some value to the rhinos to those places.
That's also one of the facilities that we have helped over the years.
Oh, yeah?
We contributed to, because we used to have set up here quarters for conservation.
Nice.
That was one of our things that we were doing. As like our international, because we do a lot of local conservation, and then we try to always, every year, try and help at least one international foundation. And I remember when we decided to support them, it was really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, if anyone has any questions about how they can support rhinos in the wild, questions about Theo, or even questions just about rhinos in general, please do not hesitate to contact us at podcast@gvzoo.com. I'm Callum.
And I'm Ashley.
And this has been a wild conversation.